Scene 5. The scene takes place 3 weeks later. A corner of Fifth Avenue in the 50s on a fine Sunday morning. A general atmosphere of clean, well-tidied, wide street, a flood of mellow, tempered sunshine, gentle breezes. In the rear, the show windows of two shops, a jewelry establishment on the corner of Furries next to it. Here, the adornments of extreme wealth are tantalizingly displayed. The jeweler's window is gauding with glittering diamonds, emeralds, rubies, pearls, etc., fashioned in ornate tiaras, crowns, necklaces, collars, etc. From each piece hangs an enormous tag, from which a dollar sign and numerals in intermittent electric lights wink out the incredible prices. The same in the Furriers. Rich furs of all varieties hang there, bathed in a downpour of artificial light. The general effect is of a background of magnificence cheapened and made grotesque by commercialism, a background in tawdry disharmony with the clear light and sunshine on the street itself. Up the side street, Young and Long come swaggering. Long is dressed in shore clothes, wears a black Windsor tie, cloth cap. Yank is in his dirty dungarees. A fireman's cap with black peak is cocked defiantly on the side of his head. He has not shaved for days, and around his fires resentful eyes, as around those of Long to a lesser degree, the black smudge of coal dust still sticks like makeup. They hesitate and stand together at the corner, swaggering, looking about them with a forced, defiant contempt. Yank is deeply shocked after knowing that Mildred regarded him as a hairy ape. Now he begins to believe in Long's theory of class conflict, that capitalists are responsible for the miseries of poor workers. Yank decides to take revenge from Mildred. For the purpose, Long takes him to Fifth Avenue. Yank thinks Mildred would be there. Long tells Yank that he has brought him there to show how the capitalists lead a luxurious life. In fact, it is not a personal matter between Yank and Mildred. It is a much higher issue, an eternal conflict between the labor and the capital. Yank represents poor workers, and Mildred or her father Douglas stands for capitalist. Long intends to make Yank conscious of this class conflict. In this conflict, all workers stand at his back, just as all capitalists support Douglas. It is not a duel between two individuals, but war between two classes. Ain't that why I brought yer up yer to show you? Yer been looking at this yer whole affair wrong. Yer been acting and talking as if it was all a bleeding personal matter between you and that bloody cow. I wants to convince you that she was only a representative or of their class. You have got to fight, not there alone. There's a whole mob of them like there. God blind them. Long asks him that at the time people are at a church, they wait for their return. In the meantime, they visit the shop of ornaments. Yank is surprised to see how costly things are sold there. He had never thought that people could have so much money with them. One thing cost enough to provide food to a starving family. When he visits the fur shop, he finds there a monkey's fur for 2,000 bucks. It enrages Yank and makes him resolute to take revenge. Long asks Yank to act wisely, otherwise police would arrest them and their purpose would fail. He ought to take all easily and keep her anger controlled. Violent force does not bring about success. It is defeated by wisdom. It is wisdom to highlight the demands to secure popular support. It is a peaceful constitutional method. Democratic means are strengthening the labor class day by day. By winning more and more seats in elections, real power can be attained. Easy goes, comrade. Keep your blooming temper. Remember, force defeats himself. It ain't our weapon. We must impress our demands through peaceful means. The votes of the on-marching proletarians of the bloody world. But Yank calls him a coward and asks him to get away. Long leaves him alone. The crowd from church enter from the right. Voices: Dear Dr. Capers, he is so sincere. What was the sermon? I dozed off. About the radicals, my dear, and the false doctrines that are being preached. We must organize a 100% American bazaar and let everyone contribute 100% of their income tax. What an original idea! We can devote the proceeds to rehabilitating the veil of the temple. But that has been done so many times. Yank looks at them scornfully, but they ignore him. It enrages him looking at a lady. Yank expresses his disgust. He points out that her face is not looking attractive. It may rather frighten the looker. He advises her to impress or attract someone else. He remarks that she is like that wicked passenger who travels in a ship without paying for journey. Her face is covered with heavy makeup, all painted and powdered. She has decorated herself as if she were going to die. By insulting the lady, Yank feels pleased as if the lady were Mildred. Indirectly, he intends to prove that these women also looks like apes. Holy smokes, what a mug! Go hide yourself before the horses shy at you. Give pipe the heron on that one. Say yours, you look like the stone of a ferry boat. Paint and powder, all dolled up to kill. Young's uncontrolled behavior goes on. At last, he picks up a quarrel with a gentleman who calls police. A whole platoon of policemen rush in on Yank. He tries to fight but fails. Scene 5 is over.